Hey there, I'm Matthew Foley and this is ISO Insights, where God's truth grows in the midst of current culture, renewing the mind and spirit.
Welcome back to ISO Insights. I am so excited today to have our guest, Sister Evangelist Jackie Smith, who has an amazing testimony and an amazing ministry. Just to give some facts, she has served as a national evangelist for the Church of God, and she serves currently as a national evangelist for the Church of God. She's been 45 years now in ministry. She has served in 39 countries and 48 states. And she is, as the website shares, the epitome of a woman of God who has given herself totally to the call of God. So I would love to, you can just go ahead. I want to jump in here and actually talk about some of those details. Because I think you'll say it better than anyone else could about the experiences that God's given you. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Cutshaw he's known you for many years,
yes.
And he mentioned a few details about you to me, that your background originally was in the opera, and you had musical training, and then God radically called you out. So could you give us some details about your testimony, mm-hmm. your upbringing, and that you know, when you discovered talent, how you came into that, and what happened that caused you to change such a drastic change in your calling and lifestyle?
Yes. Well, first of all, you know, to God be the glory,
Amen.
You know, for all of these things that take place in our lives. But, you know, my beginning started as a little girl. I was adopted by a wonderful couple. Mm-hmm. And they had one child and mm-hmm. was told that they would not be able to have any more children. And so they took advantage of a situation that they knew of and adopted me. But my adopted mother said, if I ever had a daughter, I would want her to be an opera singer.
Really?
Yes. I mean,
wow.
Here's an African-American woman born 1919 that loved classical music.
Wow.
And so she played it, you know, radio and all classical music in our home. And so here I am, this little girl running around, and then I would kind of imitate the opera singers, you know, with mm-hmm. the shaking of my voice mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And my adopted mother said, oh, she said, I believe we've got our little opera singer. So when I was age 8, she sought out a voice teacher for me. And they told her at that time, well, she's a little too young. You know, we're rushing it a little bit. Let's give it a couple of more years, and that would be a good time, you know, for her to start in vocal training. So she waited, and right after that couple of years passed by, she sought out a voice teacher, and she accepted me, and we started right then. So at that time, now I'm age 10, kind of going on 11 years old. And so I began singing in school, of course, you know, and any of the special programs and that kind of thing in school. And then the opportunity to sing in recitals and other things opened up right away, because here I am, mm-hmm. you know, this little trained singer, you know, that God had bigger plans for that too. But anyway, this little little young girl, a trained singer, and God had really gifted me, and mm-hmm. he had really given me that talent. And I was able to do a lot of things early on. So I, you know, sang in the opera, not as much opera, but oratorio, you know, mm-hmm. which I really loved, all of that. And so then my whole life just kind of started going downhill a little bit. You know, even though I was singing and had all of these wonderful opportunities, you know, to sing the lead parts and arias, you know, in the oratorios or whatever, but I was a miserable person, actually. You know, I suffered from depression a lot, and it's interesting because I really didn't like people.
Really?
No. I would sing before thousands of people, but when that was over, I really didn't want anything to do with people at all.
Wow.
And so, you know, I would get on the stage and sing, and the roses would be laid in my arms when I would do the lead part, or, you know, flowers thrown on the stage, but I was pretty much a miserable person. And as years went on, that kind of got worse, you know. So it was like pills to sleep, pills to wake up, pills to calm, you know, my nerves. And even at one point, even had some situations to arise that I felt like I didn't even want to live anymore, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But to make a long story short on that, even though I had all that wonderful, all those wonderful things happening for me to the world, but I was very much lost and on my way to hell, and let's just call it what it was. And I remember when I got as low as I could get, I threw my hands up and I said, "Oh God, you have just got to help me." And that was it. That was the prayer that I prayed. And it was on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that I kept feeling this drawing to go into this big white house on the corner, just 5 miles from my home there in New Jersey. That's where I'm from. And so it was, like I said, the several nights. And on Friday, I finally pulled into the driveway. I didn't know why. And I got out of the car and went and knocked on the door of that big white house on the corner. And the man that answered the door introduced himself as Reverend Vink Ivey with the Church of God.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, it's amazing. I didn't, you know, I had just prayed and said, "God, you have just got to help me." And who would have thought that he would have done it in that way? But he invited me in, and it happened to be Good Friday that year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Look at God.
Yep, 1973. It happened to be Good Friday. And he invited me in, and I just started telling this complete stranger, you know, all these things about me. You know, I've just told you a little bit. But anyway, and he just listened, and I would make comments, and he would quote a scripture, just very sweet and loving. I had a few questions, and he would quote scripture. You know, he always answered me with the word. And so I remember getting my coat back on, and I said, "Well, I'll be here Sunday, Easter. Wow. You know, I'll be here in service on Sunday." And he looked at me just like this and pointed his finger. He said, "Young lady, you will not make it until Sunday," because I was already suicidal.
Wow.
He says, "You must give your heart and life to Jesus now." And I remember peeling my coat back off and kneeling down by that rocking chair. I'll never forget. And I gave my heart to the Lord that night. And then I went back to church on that Easter Sunday morning. Of course, I was about the first one there. I was so excited. And he preached a wonderful message, Easter message. And when he gave the altar call, I automatically got up and went forward. Well, he turns around to the congregation and he says, "This is the person. This is the opera singer, you know, the classical music singer that came Friday night and gave her heart to the Lord." And he turned to me and he said, "What do you want from the Lord this morning?" I said, "Everything." I did the same thing that I did when I asked the Lord to help me. You know, really, I was asking him to save me, you know. And I said, "Everything." And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit right on that point that I said everything.
Oh my word.
So, you know, I was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Easter, that's why Easter's always very special for me. And then I got baptized in water the following month, and I joined the Church of God, which was meeting in that White House.
Wow.
There were 35 people meeting in that White House. They had broken ground on that property to build a church. And I became the minister of music, of course. And so, you know, I you know, directed the choir and the small ensembles and gave vocal training and used all of that talent and gifting that the Lord had given me over those years for the Lord. And so now I'm at the point in my life that I'm now, you know, where the Lord wanted me to be and serving him and using the gifts and talents that he had given me to serve him. So now my life had settled down, you know. I had really just let all that other stuff just kind of go. And even a relationship that I was in at that time, I had to let all that go for a wonderful new relationship with Jesus, you know. But the Lord didn't waste any time. Right after that, he started dealing with me about preaching.
Really?
Yes.
So how did it lead into, was there like a conference? I'm just for everyone to know. Was there a conversation that led into, okay, I've got a calling to be an evangelist? Or did those gifts start to, just like the infilling of the Holy Spirit, did they just start to rise up out of you?
That's a good word, rise up. And that was like a rising, you know, because what would happen is I would lead the services. You know, the minister of music leads the services pretty much until the time the pastor preaches. You know, so what would happen is I would pray and fast. My pastor really taught us the importance of much prayer and much fasting. So I would pray and fast and prepare, you know, the music and prepare the choir or the ensembles or the soloists or whoever they might be. I was just totally involved in the ministry of it, not just because I was talented, but the ministry of it. And what happened, I would start exhorting, like between the songs. You understand what I'm saying when I say that. Started making comments or started to quote a scripture or, you know, and the pastor said that he was very suspicious of that, but he was not about to tell me, you know. He said, because he said, I started flowing in a way that someone would have, for someone that had been doing this for a long, long time. I just started doing it. And I was studying a lot because they had also asked me to teach a class. So here I'm, this new believer in a small church. You know, they'll use who, you know. And they'll use whoever they can. And that was a good thing because God started preparing me for that too. I was teaching the young people, so I studied a lot, prayed and fasted a lot. And then I had three encounters with God about preaching. The one encounter was that I was sitting on my couch just praying, and I fell into a trance, and the Lord showed me myself in a huge arena. And the stage was in the middle, and all the people were around me, and I was singing. I, you know, there I was, you know, doing the thing I loved, you know, singing. And when I completed the song, when I ended the song, the people were chanting, "Sing it again, sing it again." But then there was this one very strong voice that was saying, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." So I, when I came out of that trance, I was just completely soaked. Everything I had on was just totally soaked wet. And I called my pastor and I told him about my experience. And he just said, well, you know, you just need to pray about that. Ask the Lord the meaning. He said he knew all the time. Yeah, oh, he said he knew. And he said, just pray and ask the Lord to give you the revelation on that, the understanding of that vision, you know, that you saw. And then the next time, the Lord told me to go into the church, because by this time the church was built. So go into the church and spend the night on a Friday night until Saturday morning. And I was only to pray for others, not to ask for anything for myself. Now, this is very interesting. Matt, did they call you Matt?
Oh, they call me Theo. I go by Matthew on the podcast.
Matthew,
call me
Theo.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Well, Matt, this is the interesting part of that particular incident, that encounter that I had had with the Lord, because that night I took my comforter and my Bible and a pillow, because I was going to stay in the church all night, and the Lord said, "And you can't bring anyone in with you. You have to be alone." And all of a sudden, you know, I went over to the piano, I played a little bit, and I sang a little bit, and I prayed, and I sang a little bit, and prayed, and all of a sudden, it just drove me crazy, like the scripture from Romans, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And what you have to, I'm going to speak to the audience just for a moment. What you have to understand about this is that in Handel's Messiah, which is an oratorio, that was one of the soprano arias. So I had sung that many, many times and on many, many occasions on many, many stages. I had sung that aria, How Beautiful Are the Feet of Them That Preach the Gospel of Peace and Bring Glad Tidings of Good Things. So it was that all night long, all night long. No matter what else I would try to do, it was that. Told my pastor about that. They stayed up all night too. They were in the White House. Really? They stayed up all night with me. They knew I was over there by myself, so they stayed up and prayed. He said, we prayed the whole night for you, you know. And then the third encounter was that I walked into my bedroom, and the Lord just slammed me to the floor this particular time. And it was like a ball of fire that came through the window, and I just went face down. And I was on the floor all night, and the Lord was very specific that he was calling me to preach the gospel, to win the loss, and that he was raising me up in the church of God to break through racial, cultural, and gender barriers. So now this is a whole new thing now.
Thank you so much for watching ISO Insights, ISO Bible College's podcast. And I wanted to let you know about something that we offer, making it easy for you to see the rest of the courses that we have sampled in our videos here on our YouTube channel. You can use our All Access Pass, which you can find more about both in the description below and at isow.org, our website. By using the All Access Pass subscription, $99 a month will get you full access to all of our course catalogs. So please do go over and check out our All Access Pass at iso.org.
Preaching and going forth in ministry in a Southern white church.
Wow.
Now let's just get real. You were talking 40-some years ago.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
An African-American, single female.
Wow.
And I was like, Lord, there's no way that that can work. There's just no way.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And he was just so, so specific about all of that, that he was calling me into a ministry of, again, preaching the gospel, breaking through racial, cultural, and gender barriers. I'm kind of going into my 46th year, I guess, now. But anyway, and so there I was.
Wow.
You know, I left out that the Lord had blessed me with a job also for a pharmaceutical company. I had a very, very nice job in human resources, actually, along with my minister of music position in that small church. And the Lord was very specific that I was to resign my job, resign my the word. Minister of music job.
Wow.
And go forth into ministry. And that's so he didn't ease me into it. He didn't say, well, you know, you can preach on the weekends or whatever. And now we're 40-plus years later. And as you had already said, 39 countries, 48 states.
As you stepped into that calling and as you pursued in obedience that commission that the Lord gave you, what have you seen? And you could go into great detail or little detail, but what have you seen that has achieved those goals that the Lord set, you know, over these last 40 years about operating? I know the Church of God hails from the Appalachian region historically.
Yes.
The Assembly of God is more like on the western coast of the United States. But with all the cultural tumultuous things that have happened, what did you find were the doors the Lord opened for you to begin to even change hearts and to set a new precedence?
Well, you know, the Lord means what he says, and he says what he means.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just didn't see any way possible that that could happen.
Yeah.
But once again, when God speaks, he has a plan, you know, and he knows everything. He's the omniscient God. He knows how it's all going to work out, you know. He knows the doors that he would open. He knew the people that he would use and the places that he would send me, you know. And but even though over the years it's been very, very difficult, you know, I mean, I would go into places, I can share a few of my experiences, you know, that has brought us to where we are now. Yeah. And I do want to answer that question. But the thing about it is that it has taken me through some very difficult places. Mm-hmm. I have to say that, you know, and I mean, there would be times when, well, let me go back and say the Lord said to me that I would be preaching in all white churches, okay, breaking through racial and cultural barriers. So the first 20-some years, I was not preaching in my own churches of my own ethnicity or culture or whatever, or race. But I was doing exactly what he said in the call, okay? And so he opened those doors, and I had to walk through them, even though they were painful, they were hurtful. You know, I was insulted, I was threatened, I was propositioned, I was, I mean, I'm just going to tell the truth about all of that. You know, I could sit here all day and all night and tell you some of those experiences, but I can share a couple with you.
Okay.
A youth director in Alabama. Now, you're talking Alabama, 40-plus years ago. He asked me to come and preach the youth camp. And I thought, are you sure? He said, yeah. If you're, you know, you feel like you can do this, I feel it's the right thing to do. And it does take leaders like that, you know, that will be obedient and do the right thing, okay? And because that's what will bring about the changes that we needed and continuing to need. But he said, I want you to come and preach this youth camp. So we get on the campground. I get out of the car. And this girl comes running to me and she said, are you Jackie Smith? And I said, yes, I am. And here were her words. I'm quoting her. She said, you can't preach to us, kids. She says, because niggers don't have souls.
Wow.
And she said, and so if you don't have a soul, then you can't be saved and you can't preach to us.
My word.
Yeah. So that was an experience right there that, you know, this is a teenage girl that I'm getting ready to preach to these kids.
How do you respond to that?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Well, I just said, you know, the Lord bless you. You know, just kind of walked on and went into my cabin. And I have to tell you that there are many times when I had to really swallow hard.
I believe you.
Many times when I had to swallow hard, blink back the tears and say, God, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put up with this, you know. You know, it's like, I quit, you know. I can't deal with this. Because what I would often say is that when I was in sin and was singing in the classical music field, sinners often treated me better than the people in the church.
Wow.
Because they respected your talent, your ability, okay? So, you know, I just couldn't quite understand some of this. But the Lord had, like I've already said, the Lord had warned me about it, you know, that I was called to break through those racial, you know, cultural and gender barriers. So, but I have a good report for you and for anyone that might be watching right now. By that Friday night, that very same young lady that said that I couldn't be saved because I didn't have a soul just fell into my arms. And she said, oh, Miss Jackie, you have to be saved. You just have to be. And, you know, and a lot of those young kids, you know, they got saved. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful youth camp. And so that was a plus. That was a huge one right there. It was another time in Virginia. Of course, I have many of these stories, but I'll just share another one. In Virginia, a 93-year-old. So now we're talking about a 15-year-old. And now we're going all the way to a 93-year-old.
Young and old.
Oh, yeah. He came up on the platform when I was getting ready to preach that Sunday morning. And he said, I hate all, and he called me the N-word, hate all of you, hated that you're here, and I can't believe the pastor would even have you, and the whole bit. Mm. But what's so interesting about it is that was Sunday morning, and he came to the revival every night. It was from Sunday through Friday. And he came every night and sat all the way in the back of the church and just scowled at me, just, you know, gave me this evil eye. But on that Friday night, he came forward and asked the pastor for the microphone. And the pastor was reluctant to give it to him, you know, because I told him what he had said. You know, he called me the N-word, told me he hated me, you know, that kind of thing. And the pastor said, Holy Spirit said, give him the microphone. Mm-hmm. And he gave it to him, and he looked up, and he said, God, forgive me. And he turned to me, and he said, Sister Jackie, forgive me. And he turned to the congregation and asked all of them to forgive him. Mm. 2 weeks later, that man died.
Oh, my word. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And his daughter called the pastor and said, would you please get in touch with Sister Jackie and tell her thank you?
Wow.
Because she was God used, you know, not me, you know, not about me, but God used me to get his attention. Mm. About the sin in his life, and he made it right.
Wow.
And she said, I believe he's fine now. Everything's all right with him now. So you see, even though I've gone through a lot of those very painful things, and I have so many of those stories I could tell you, I mean, just terrible things that people have said and done and called me names and threatened me and that kind of thing. But I said all that to say this. We've seen over the years the changes in the hearts of people, you know, and I've been able to go back to many of these churches, and now they're multicultural, you know, people are worshiping together from different ethnic groups, and especially like you're younger too, you know, the more younger congregations, pastors, leaders, younger ones. And it's just a blessing. It's such a blessing to me that the Lord has allowed me to live this long. I just celebrated my 80th birthday.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And the Lord has allowed me to see the changes and people worshiping together and fellowshipping together and living together, fun things together and that kind of thing. So I can sit here now and say all those tears and the hurts and the insults and all of that, it's worth it.
Wow.
Even though we still have a ways to go in some of that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that we've arrived in that, but the church has changed so much. I don't know if you realize some of the changes, you know, that we now, like as an 80-year-old now, I'm able to see men of color who are state overseers, a man of color that was on the executive committee, you know, the last General Assembly, men of color going on the Council of 18, you know, see, all of this is worth it. All the things you know, you're able to plow through and suffer through is worth it to see the wonderful changes. And we have even young men of color pastoring predominantly white churches now.
Absolutely.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
That just thrills me. I might even get happy and shout right on that
Hallelujah.
One. No, really. This is God working through. Here's how I want to say this, Matt. Mm-hmm. He doesn't waste anything.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just feel that right now. God doesn't waste anything. He just doesn't, whether it's positive or whether it's something negative, he will use it and he will, again, get the glory. Mm. And the church will be built up and edified.
Wow.
The kingdom of God will be advanced and the sinner will be evangelized. The sinner will be won into the kingdom of God. And that's really what it's all about. Now, I do want to tell you another part of my, the other painful part in the beginning, you know, about God calling me into ministry, he also called me to singleness. So if there's any singles out there, you know, I can kind of give you a word of encouragement. along those lines as well. Not only, as a matter of fact, at one point I asked the Lord, what is it that you have against me?
Oh my, yeah.
You know, because you have asked some hard things of this little New Jersey woman, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, I got saved at age 30, you know, and yeah. I wanted a husband. Mm-hmm. I said, now, God, now that I'm saved and, you know, and I'm in ministry of music and, you know, that kind of thing, if you'll just send me a husband mm-hmm. and I can have a son and a Pomeranian, I will just be so happy.
Wow. That planned out too.
But the yeah. Lord asked me not to marry, if wow. I would be willing
wow.
to give that to him as well,
wow.
marriage, having children, having being a having a biological child, mm-hmm. And I do have a Pomeranian, by the way.
Still got that one. Yeah,
he's 12 years old, actually. but anyway, he did ask me, and I was like, no way. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I was the same thing about the ministry. No, I don't want to live by faith. No, I don't want to preach. No, mm-hmm. I don't want to break through racial barriers. No, I don't want to. Do wow. you think I jumped up and down and said, okay, God, I'll do this? Mm-hmm. No. For about 3 years, I really, 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 I was just miserable because mm-hmm. I knew I was outside of the will of God.
Yeah.
But yet I didn't want to. I didn't want my life to go in that direction at all.
Yeah.
But I finally had to surrender all of that as well about mm-hmm. marriage and, mm-hmm. you know, so I won't plan a wedding. So I won't give birth to a baby. No, I won't have a shower, baby shower. No, I won't, you mm-hmm. know. And I had to finally do the same thing. Here I go again, throw my hands up mm-hmm. and say, okay, God. Mm-hmm. And Matthew, I'll call you by your full name on this one. I have the most wonderful life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a wonderful, wonderful life that God has given me. We never know when we say yes to the Lord mm-hmm. what it's going to be like. But what I've learned through all of it is the only place to be is right in the center mm. of God's will.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I think about when you talk about your life in 2 Timothy, when Paul mentions, I've been poured out like a drink offering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he mentions how mm-hmm. he said he was a slave to righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even I think about Jeremiah when he said, I've tried to stop,
yeah.
but it was like a fire yeah, shut up in my
right.
bones.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And yeah. I want to say thank you for mm-hmm. your obedience and mm-hmm. for your sacrifice, mm-hmm. for laying your life down for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question as we head towards closing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think this is very important. You know, I when I was growing up, for a good bit of my upbringing, I went to a church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
that was 50% African-American, 50% white, Pentecostal, 100% Pentecostal. And I did not realize as a kid mm-hmm. that that was very outstanding
oh,
for where I was
unusual.
At.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So when I went to college, you know, I remember talking to a guy from Maryland. And he was African-American, and mm-hmm. I he was like, where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from a church in Alabama. And he was like, oh, my word.
Yeah.
And I told him the situation. He was like, you're blowing me away right now.
Yeah,
I didn't know
that
such a thing existed.
Oh, I know.
And
what a blessing.
Yeah, and I think about that. And from your years of experience, you know, for instance, anyone that's listening now, if you're a young woman and you feel a call to ministry, I'd love for you to look up ISO's course about women in ministry. We do have that resource for you. But I'm really wanting to hear from you. I know that early on in the church, you know, in the scripture, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts mm-hmm. was a huge part of the Gentile apostles mm-hmm. opening their hearts up to the, mm-hmm. excuse me, the Jewish apostles opening their hearts up to Gentiles. You know, Peter's like, well, they're already filled with the Holy Spirit. What forbids them from being baptized?
Sure.
And God was changing their minds even then. But what would you say to a younger generation that's grappling with the racism and the bitterness of the
mm-hmm.
past
mm-hmm.
and that's saying, how can we get past this now? Because I, you know, when I grew up, I really felt like the power of the Holy Spirit was the greatest transforming agent
to
the heart.
That is it. I mean, that's the answer right there.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, we might have been raised a certain way, and I always say this, you know, I can understand, you know, that you were raised in the Deep South or, you know, families that were racist or, you know, you had maybe some bad experiences with people that don't look like you or whatever. But once a person gives their heart and life to Christ, it's like anything else. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. Those old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So now you're saved. You're born again. But now you're going to need the power. You're going to need help, and that's who he is. He's the helper. Now you're going to need help for him to do that work, continue to do that work of regeneration in your life and bring about the transformation. You know, I have a problem with people that say they're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues, but can't stand a person that, you know, there's a problem with that. Because the Holy Spirit, just like he will convict you of other things, because racism is a sin. Let's call it what it is. You cannot say that God has a certain group of people that he created that he loves more and that we're another, you know, another class of people or, you know, we're downgraded in some way. Or if you have a problem with the color of my skin, then you have a problem with God because he created me this way. You didn't choose who you would be born to. I didn't choose. God made that choice, you know. So the Holy Spirit is the one that has to do that work. And I see it happening, like you mentioned young people. The Lord has now opened the door. And I did want to kind of throw that in before we close. The Lord has now, like I said, he's made it all worth it. Because now, at 80 years old, the Lord in this past year has called me to minister over at Lee.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is the most wonderful thing that I've done.
Wow.
It is besides ministering to the military, which I've done over the years in the Far East and Europe, and I still do in Europe and all. But this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. It was a year ago that God called me to be able to speak to the young people as a guest lecturer in their classes. And they just got a grant for Pentecostal preaching. They've asked me to be involved in that, and I just preached their chapel on the 6th.
I did see that. What kind of fruit? You know, sometimes you have to bear things in privacy. I understand that, but what kind of fruit in conversations have you seen from that recently?
From the students? Oh yeah. They've contacted me. Wow. They're in touch, and you know, they want to sit down and have personal, you know, times together, and it's just beautiful. And I told them here's the fruit of it. I told you that the Lord said, no children, you know. Well, these are my children. The Lord says, I've given you. That's why I said, even Dr. Cutshaw, he calls me mom. Yeah. And it's the Lord, once again, if he asks something of you or if he removes something, he always has a way of replacing it.
Wow.
It might not always be in the very same way. So after I spoke it at chapel on the 6th, I hear from them, and it's like, hey, Mama Jay, Mama Jackie. Yeah. I love it, Matthew.
Wow.
It's wonderful.
What a reward.
He's a wonderful God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
This has been an amazing time. Since we're headed towards closing, could you close us in prayer for this episode?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lord, we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory that is due you. And
thank you, Jesus.
Even as we started out, Lord, everything that we do should always be to honor and glorify you, and to be a blessing to those that you died for, and to certainly win those who are not saved yet and do not know you personally yet. And so we just thank you, O Lord, for those times and those moments that you give us to minister. And Lord, you have a plan. You have the best plan that there is for each one of our lives. And my prayer is that we will all be willing to walk in that plan and fulfill the plan of God and the purpose that you have for each one of our lives. I just want to personally, Lord, just say to you, thank you for Matthew. Thank you for this young man, God, that has surrendered his life to you, Lord, and the witness that he is and the light that he is. And we just pray that for all of those that are coming behind me, the next generations, Lord, that you will just touch and that you will bless and that you will change and that you will use, and that they in their generation be able to advance the kingdom of God. We pray for the salvation of souls on that campus, and we pray that you will continue to strengthen those that are saved on that campus, and for all of those that are even in this town that we are in right here in Cleveland. And we just pray for salvation to come to the lost. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And thank you so much, Sister Jackie, for coming on here. It's been an amazing episode.
Thank you for asking me, for inviting me.
Absolutely. And for those of you watching, I know what Sister Jackie has said today has touched you. I know that there's power right now to change your life. If you feel that conviction, if you feel a stirring in your heart, if you're feeling a calling to a ministry, or if you're feeling the Lord calling you to salvation, I encourage you, respond to the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord Jesus to transform your life today. We'll catch you next time on ISO Insights.